It's Patrick Baity Reviews, the number one for news. It's Patrick Baity Reviews, number one for news. Yeah. Tune in. Get up. Yeah. What's up?
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
What is up, my gaggle of geeks, and welcome to a new episode of Patrick Baity Reviews, the podcast. I don't have a name for this yet, where we're talking about movies. We're going in depth with the spoiler reviews, and just a quick couple announcements before we actually let's introduce our guest, because she's amazing and I'm so excited that I get to be with her today. Kathia Woods, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I'm sad that we only get to see each other either in virtual space or when it's at a film festival or during award season, where we're literally all running around like a chicken without our head on straight, which is
let me do the intro right, because truly, like, I understated how awesome you are. First, make sure that you're following her on Twitter at Kathia Woods and Cup of Soul Show for more reviews, interviews, and honestly, like, anytime this is all so recent with me to be able to go to any of these like HCA award stuff or any of like the CCA things. And Kathy, you are like my center. Like, I have to find you to feel okay when I go to these things. Otherwise I'm completely off, and you're just so kind. And it's been so fun to be able to know you and be able to talk about movies.
Oh, I appreciate that. I mean, listen, I tell people all the time who think what we do is, which is really hilarious, we hang out with celebrities. I'm like, no, we get to be in these spaces, and it is a privilege, right? It isn't something that we just automatically get. It's perks of the job, but we're not living that life.
No.
So us normal people have to stick together to be centered, when you do sit at the table and you're the only regular person, it's a bunch of celebrities, and you feel like everybody's looking at you like, how did you get here? Like, who are you? Right. It's always nice to have someone else that is normal. So you're like, okay, I have somebody to talk to. So I completely understand. And no one ever shows you the ropes. They're like, okay, you're here.
Right.
Fend amongst yourself. And you're like, well, obviously there are normal things you don't do, but it's also like, okay, well, what's the protocol? Am I allowed to speak to talent? Do I have to wait for them to speak to me? When do we interact? Like, nobody ever tells you that. So I know exactly how you feel. So I'm always like, I don't want anybody to feel like, oh, you're on your own. It's like, you know, being a new kid at school. So absolutely, it's been my pleasure. And I also love you, and I love your energy. And, you know, and we managed to see each other in the craziness that was Sundance. The weather was brutal.
Oh, man. Yeah.
It was so brutal. It was shameful.
and we met each other in the most, I don't think we're ever going to have this movie come out. Like, I don't think we're ever going to see this film see the light of day. So it's kind of, we could do a whole podcast episode about that, right?
I know. And also it's like, not to mention it's one of those movies where we were already like emotionally drained, and then something else happened, and like the whole theater, we were all like, we leaned forward, we're like, what are you doing? We were like, afterwards, I know people that were planning to go to another screening, they're like, I can't, I'm emotional. I was like, I'm right there with you. Like, I feel like Sundance, I don't know if you feel that way. I feel like Sundance picks movies, obviously, these are the movies that deal with heavier things. Mm-hmm. And down the line, you know, they do, I mean, they're great performances, and these are stories need to be told. But I'm like, would it kill them to, like, when we're having these types of days, to kind of balance it with day? Are comedies, like, very few in between? Do you know what I mean? But I totally do feel like I always need, like, therapy.
It feels like there's three categories to me. I've only done this, like, a few years, right? It feels like the midnight premieres, those are the big things for Sundance. Documentaries, I feel like, are a very big part of Sundance. And those are the ones I'm always looking forward to. Or the dramatic side. But it's always very heavy dramatic. There's not a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It is, you fell out the window, broke your arm and your leg. No one would give you a prosthesis. You then had to, like, crawl your way through homelessness and drug addiction.
Thought they were a snail for an hour and a half? And how hard is that life? And it's exactly. Just like they realistically show someone like with gravel all across their face, like dragging across, like they would show something like that. And it absolutely would probably win. So,
I'm kind of happy what we're meeting where we don't have to be like feeling like, you know, we're going to cry or we're just like emotionally spent. So this film definitely is the opposite of that.
Oh, we're about to talk about the biggest Sundance. No. If this showed up at Sundance, could you imagine if they're like, you know what? Let's just do it. We're going to premiere the final Fast and Furious movie at the Sundance Film.
Oh my God, the way the cinephiles would have a meltdown. I mean, it would be like, how dare you? You know what I mean? I mean, it would be good money. People would come. The Rock came one year when The Rock did come. Oh my God, it was mayhem, right?
Right.
But I'm like, people would come.
What was he here for?
He was here for the wrestling film.
Oh, the fighting family,
whatever it was called.
Yeah,
he was there for that, where he produced it, and well, you know, he wasn't in it because Sundance is like that's the only way they're bringing him to Sundance. Nothing because right. he doesn't make those type of movies, but because people want to see him. I mean, he is a great personality and. Fighting with My Family. That was it. He brought that to Sundance and people were like, it was a surprise screening and people were like, obviously.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how you did this, Kathy. You just tied in Sundance with Fast 10. I don't know how you just did that. that was pretty amazing. Like, bravo. Let's jump into this. So if people have not seen Fast 10, we've got the spoiler alert up. Just go check it out. If you don't care, I know a lot of me personally, I enjoy watching spoiler reviews, even if I haven't seen the film, sometimes just to like learn about different perspectives. I feel like we're gonna be fairly similar about this, but maybe have different takes about specific parts. This is the 10th one. They just have not stopped. Like you said, they're planning possibly two more after this. So first, let me get your thoughts on Fast 10 and just kind of like overall, maybe favorite moments and spoil away.
Okay. favorite moments, Rita Moreno.
Mm.
I thought it was cute to have her in there. And I'm like, dear God, please don't strap her in a car. The woman is 90 plus years old, you know?
Right.
I thought she looked cute. I thought Jason Momoa was great as a villain. I thought if anything brought this film out of the darkness, it was him. And he was, I liked the fact that he was a villain that was a little camp. You know what I mean? He didn't mm-hmm. take himself too seriously because normally it's somebody who's, you know, super testosterone and da-da-da-da-da and all this other stuff. But he was great. I also feel like, you know, Michelle Rodriguez had a little bit more to do than other being Dom's girlfriend. So that was a winner. I think that's as nice of a thing I can say.
And that's about it.
The shots of the different cities. I'm still perplexed that Vin Diesel and John Cena are brothers. Like it is a leap of DNA and dynamic.
Oh my goodness.
The gentleman that plays their father is on Mayans MC, which is a great show. Side note, you should check it out. They're coming back for their final season. But yes,
there's so much logic.
This DNA gymnastics is a lot.
We need to talk about it because nobody's talking about it. And every day this week, Kathy, I went to every person at my work. I showed them a picture of Vin Diesel, and then I showed them a picture of the mother. And then I went back to Vin Diesel, and then I went back to the mother. And then I zoomed in to Vin Diesel, and I zoomed in, and then I showed them the kid. And every single person gave me the same face.
It's what? Not working.
And then a follow-up question, was he adopted? And an answer, no. And John Cena's his uncle.
I know, and then JD Pardo is a Latin man. Mm-hmm. You know, he has olive complexion. And if you pay close attention to the last one, John Cena, they made him, they gave, the younger version is clearly a Caucasian man.
Mm-hmm.
And they try to give him like this tan hue.
Just but, the face.
And trust me, I understand. I have everything in my family, but it just is a lot of a mental gymnastics. Then Vin Diesel's son in this one clearly is a black child. But we have to remember that Michelle Rodriguez is not his biological mom. His mom is the woman, Chris Hemsworth's wife, who played his love interest in, I don't know, 7 or 8. Go Google that. And she has blonde hair.
Right.
And is a Caucasian woman. And these two people had this dark-skinned black child.
I wish I put these pictures up. Why didn't I do that?
And it's
I didn't expect you to throw it out first out the gate. I'm so excited.
I have to, because we're still like, every time when John Cena came in here, I just kept saying, how are you related? But
right. Well, and that's how the film starts, right? He's driving around with his kid.
Yep.
They're doing 360s over the LA skyline. And he's just like, you're my kid, I'm happy. And from there, I guess Jason Momoa is just attacking him relentlessly. That's pretty much the movie.
It absolutely is. Like, and again, the team, the people that are, that they allegedly worked for, right? Remember, they became now the super agents, part right. of the agency. We don't know what the agency is, but it's just the agency, right?
Not MI6.
No, we're just going to say for this conversation, it's like CIA, like
MI10.
Exactly. And they come in because they feel like they're part of something that Jason Momoa, he orchestrated. So now they've gone from good guys to bad guys again.
Right.
But the other thing too is the way they just annihilate that house has been through some things. And I don't know who the builder is, and I don't know what the foundation is, but it keeps getting rebuilt. And at this particular point, I'm like, let them have the house.
It's like the Starship Enterprise. It just keeps getting blown up.
Exactly, right? But at least that's sci-fi. So we're already operating.
So is this at this point. They went to space last time. They're well into the sci-fi realm. They defy the laws of gravity almost in a way that insults you.
In a Fiero. They went to space in a Fiero. But again, so we have all this stuff happening. Charlize Theron shows up out of nowhere. Where, you know, again, we backpedal somewhere along the 3-hour sequence of this movie to explain how she ended up there, which is also weird because then there, it still doesn't make sense. It doesn't tie in why she would show up there. And then later on, she's captured. And we never see that. We just
it's the flashback sequence because they go back to Fast Five, right?
Okay.
Fast Five is kind of the linchpin of this whole movie. That's where Jason Momoa was. He was the son of the person that they were stealing that big safe from. Honestly, the best sequence in any of the Fast and Furious films. And he fell off the bridge and his eyes woke up. And he's like, I'm going for revenge. Why he went after Charlize Theron, I do not know. Like, that's
Nobody
the part
knows.
That's confusing. But he goes
Nobody
after
knows.
Dom. That's his motivation.
Absolutely. And once again, the gentleman that plays... to play the villain. Fast Five.
Bravo.
And Jason, our father's son. There's also, apparently, there was another person in that whole situation, a agent with the agency that we get introduced to. He's kind of like allegedly taking the place of The Rock's character, Hobbs.
Right, which
we're assuming because again we have no explanation.
He's just kind of like man.
Exactly. Yeah. He just is a body with muscle, and I'm sure he has some type of athletic career background, whatever you have there. Okay, but so here we are. This is our triage of villains, and this is not even the absurd part of the film. We're just all supposed to buy in. This is. The dialogue, if you want to call it that.
Right. No, the absurd part kicks off when it's revealed that Roman is being tasked with leading the next mission. Why they gave him that task, why they thought that was a good idea. And then he decides, we're going to do it in Rome, which I don't know if you saw the press video of when they were in Rome and Vin Diesel's talking about how much Griffin made an amazing post. If you guys want, check that out. But I from that point on, it really just went into sheer Looney Tunes. Like everything felt like a Looney Tunes sketch.
How we get Michael Bay for how his movies lack nuance and everything. This made Michael Bay look like a genius when it comes to dialogue. Do you know what I mean? Not action sequence. I'm talking just sheer dialogue. And Michael Bay himself will tell you, I make movies for overgrown 16-year-old boys. So if this movie has worse dialogue than any of Michael Bay's movies, that's all you need to know. So we're in all of this. So yes, Roman, out of all people that consistently has screwed up, is leading a mission and nobody fact checks it. Nobody is like, well, where did it come from? What is it? Etc. We're just like, you're our guy. You've been wanting to lead. We're going on this crazy mission with you.
Right. And he even gets the time to be able to make stuff to like, just be like making fun of Tej during the mission. He's got this little go-kart with Tej, like his head just put right on the front of it. He calls it like mini Tej or something. And it starts to be just kind of one of those typical, what we've seen from Furious 8? No, Fate of the Furious and Furious 9. Is that what the two are?
It's so confusing at this point.
I think I'm pretty sure those are the two. I think 8 and 9 have been really the worst part of this second half, right, of the Fast saga. It's been aimless. I've not really known where they're going. And honestly, this one, if it were to be in place of what the 8th film was, it honestly would be stronger. It's just a little too late. But Jason Momoa, he goes in and just ruins Roman's plan. It turns out it's a trap. They destroy the Vatican or attempt to, but Vin Diesel, because he's got that cross on his neck, he goes in and he's like, for Jesus, and just just totally saves the Vatican. Jason Momoa even goes like, well, who does that? That's crazy. And we move into the next chapter where it's just back and forth. Jason Momoa saying, I'm going to come after you. Vin Diesel saying, well, I'm going to find you. And then just back and forth, bombs exploding.
Yeah. Basically, Jason is like, I want to make you suffer. I don't want to kill you. I want to make you suffer and everyone you love along the way. And of course, we're in Rome and Roman being Roman, things go awry, right?
Right.
One of my gripes with the series is Chris Ludacris Bridges, who, of course, we all know from his music. I feel as though he is a much more capable actor than what this series shows. Tyrese is Tyrese. He's going to give you that one note and that's all, right? Mm-hmm. You always feel like you're seeing a different version of Baby Boy. It is who he is. But I feel like Ludacris is a much better actor than what this allows him to be. I get why he does these films. It's fun. It's a quick paycheck. But I would like to see him grow out of this and maybe if they ever do a spinoff, give him a spinoff with like F. Gary Gray and real dialogue. Do you know what I mean?
Please no spinoff. Please never do a spinoff.
But you know they're going to do it. Because
they already did.
Because this stuff makes money. Sadly. Right. I also feel like Natalie is, you know, go watch Games of Thrones if you want to see her be more than one note because she gives you way, way more in that as the interpreter than in these series.
Well, that's what's frustrating about this series, right? Is they've done 10 of these so far, right? We don't know any backstory about Roman. We know no backstory really about Tej. We don't really get to explore these people. We don't know what happened after Fast 5, really, with Tej opening up his garage. We don't know anything about Roman's family, where he came from, what brought him to prison. I don't remember, at least at this point. They just refuse to give anybody backstory except Vin Diesel. And it's the weirdest ones. It's just a random sibling that shows up out of nowhere.
A random sibling that they... did not talk about for 8 films. And
right.
And the theme of these films is family. And you forgot to omit a pertinent member of your family. You know, and which leads me to Jordana Brewster, who had no purpose in this film. She was simply in it because she's Brian been safe. All the other ones. So and because she's a tie-in to Brian.
Mm-hmm.
But she had no purpose.
Her only purpose now is to tie into Brian so they can use the line, "It's okay, Brian and the kids are safe." And that's it. She's relegated to that because they haven't decided to do the thing, which I know they're going to do, where they're going to bring Brian back. Please, they're going to do it.
They're going to CGI him?
They are going to do a full Tarkin.
Oh, God help us. But again, she had, for those of you looking for her to do anything, she ain't got nothing in this film.
No.
Other than to babysit the nephew that we are so inquiring about whose child this is, because it don't look like he's these people's child.
He is more Dwayne The Rock Johnson's baby than he is Vin Diesel's baby.
Exactly. And that would make more sense.
It would. I feel like we're going to figure out how to fix this franchise the more we talk about this movie.
I know, right? And it's So we talked about Jordana. We talked about Rome leading a mission, which, again, makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about this whole situation. My husband calls it, like, they're trying to make it Avengers in cars.
Yes, totally.
Do you know what I mean? Because when you look at the action sequence when they're in Rome and he's got this bomb thingamathing, right?
Right.
That he is trying to detonate or move away from all these, you know, historic places. Which, by the way, even though the Vatican stood and the Pentagon stood, you destroyed everything else in the city.
Right. Well, and it's a superhero montage, you're right, because there's a sequence where there's a bus. There's a sequence where there's trying to like prevent it just with like a full car. There's like everything that we've seen from superhero films, they like do in a short period. Vin Diesel literally takes, not in this sequence, but a future sequence that's basically just a rehash of the Fast Five ending. He takes the door of a car, holds it like Captain America's shield to block bullets. It's superhero.
It's very weird. And also, again, I am not a car person. I am not a person who did well in science in high school. But I'm willing to bet a large amount of money that these cars don't do what these cars are doing in this film. Like, we are beyond
a little, maybe.
Up, you know what I mean? And it's also, it's just weird. You know what I mean? Like, after that, he obviously saves. Water seems to solve everything. It seems to stop bombs and everything and all types of threats.
Ram the car into water.
Exactly. And this thing that is, I don't know, the equivalent, I don't know, think of the biggest bomb, is now detonated.
Oh, I love that part too, because Tej, just like a very throwaway line, it's an M15 submarine level nuclear platoon 10 bomb. And then it just cuts right away.
I know. And how do you know that? You know
what
I mean? How
did he know that?
No explanation. Because again, we don't know what his background is, that he's an expert on these things.
He's too busy making Rome jokes.
Exactly. We don't even have a title of his previous life or a photograph.
He's a mechanic. He was just a mechanic.
No. He's a mechanic of all things.
We just suppose gotta go with it. Yes, he is.
And to make matters worse, if this film doesn't get any more ridiculous, we have a cameo by Pete Davidson, who, of course, is Natasha's friend, character's friend. And she knows him, and he is apparently someone who deals in the black market because they lost their money and they can't go shopping for these things like superheroes do out in the open market. So they have to go underground, and Pete Davidson is the connect. And Pete Davidson is basically Pete Davidson, again, something that was not needed in this film.
He's just offering drugs. And we have a very weird, weird scene with Han just taking a bite of a mushroom and then tripping. It lasts 30 seconds. It's totally unnecessary. But this is actually the point where Dom and the gang are completely split. Like, this is basically our Empire Strikes Back moment, where we've split up the gang. Dom is kind of still going after Damien or Damon and the gang have no money. They're cut off with all their resources because now they're wanted for being terrorists because everything was framed up that Rome is responsible for it, that Roman did it. So there's that side of it. He's using his own money and they make a big deal about that. He's like, I've got to use my own money. And he's strapped with cash with, with this huge vest, which fine jokes. That's what Roman does best is he's there for the jokes and it works well. And that's what they've relegated him to. But Dominic is still going after him. He has to go through a series of people. And for the life of me, I can't trace it. I don't know where he goes from this point on.
Oh, no, we forgot a very important part. Okay. After he, I can't even believe we, I mean, obviously there's so much going on, so it's not our fault. After the bomb detonating in Rome, miraculously, out of nowhere, Helen Mirren shows up. We don't, how in the world did she right. know that he was where he was and that he was going to end up on the bridge?
Right.
I mean, so Helen Mirren gives him words of wisdom and, you know, what he needs to focus on, blah, 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 blah. And if there is to be a spinoff, I want the spinoff to be Helen Mirren, Vanessa Kirby, Jason Stratham, and the other gentleman, that family, how they became a family of grifters.
The Shaws. Have it be the Shaws.
They would be, that would be, again, though, everybody attached to this needs to not be attached. We need a capable director and real dialogue. Because I do think that banter in Hobbs and Shaw was way more, was the, some of the best part of the film. I think, you know, Helen is obviously very witty. Jason Stratham does the whole, you know, moody, straight-laced thing really, really well. And obviously Vanessa Kirby can act. So I think there is lots there. But of course, we're not going to get it because that would make sense. And that would be a good movie, which this is not. But Helen Mirren shows up. She gives him words of wisdom. We don't see her again. Now right. back to
never again.
Pete Davidson and gang, who now are...
going after Shaw, defending Shaw, right? No,
Chen, who is, listen, Chen is one of the best characters in this franchise, and they have muted this man into just taking bites out of snacks and having his hair look messy. And I'm just like, why? He is right. just, like, why, right? Again, doing nothing with him. And so he's like, he's got to go do something. I'm thinking he's going to link up with the guy from when we saw Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift, and they were going to bend their pieces, you know, from the two different gangs.
They have not reconnected once.
No, not once. That's
crazy that they haven't done that.
No, and we saw, like, there were some pictures of that character on Twitter and the internet, and I'm like, oh, maybe, you know, no, we were bamboozled.
Jeez, that's, I can't believe you brought that up. Another way to fix this, like, tie up this, these things.
No, no. And you have, okay, so why is Shaw and Chan, what was their beef? If there was one, I forgot what it was, or probably
I thought they were working together for something.
I know. So why did he need to go mend that? And then
so confusing.
Of course, Jason is there. And again, I love Jason Trent. I love him as an action hero. I think he's one of our better action actors out there. But again, we wasted his talent. And then
he knows who he is. He plays that well.
Exactly. But again, it brought nothing to the story. It didn't give them safe haven. They got some weapons and then the agency caught up with them again, whoever they are. Oh, again, you're looking for Scott Eastwood. He's in this movie for literally 5 seconds.
Right. Just to warn the people that the agency is after them. He's just there to give them the heads up and then he dips out. And also, let's add to the E, G, or F storyline of this. I don't know which one it is. What is the kid doing? The kid that we have no idea who the parents are, really. He is at the house and John Cena is there waiting for people to come and attack them and try to kidnap the kid. He takes them all out. who's the character? Brian's wife. She just jumps. She's there.
He's got, okay, gone. That's sequence in. I'm leaving to go check on Brian and to warn Brian and the kids. Right. John Cena takes the nephew.
Right. And now they're on an event, a murder adventure, which we'll talk about the murder.
We have to also, because Ames, who is the Hobbs-like character, blonde guy with the super upper body, he's after them. And to keep things nostalgic in the Carr family, they take off in an old school Mustang. And I mean old school. I mean
a
like
hatchback 1980s
Mustang, right? The kind that your uncle that had the members only jacket drove, that old. So, and it's got some, it's got a canoe and some other things on there, right?
Right.
So he takes the kid and they take off.
A canoe.
Amidst saving the world, detonating the bomb, being on the bridge for Helen Mirren, managed to get a message to John Cena, who was nobody knows where.
Well, and John Cena knows where to go. He's not going to tell you where to, where they're going, but he knows where to go. He's hilarious because he's walking into the airport with this huge canoe that we think is a canoe at, with the kid in tow. And I don't know when they cut back to that because the editing in this film is crazy. Like it's just, it is, it's all like, over the place.
Like these, it's like you said, is there's 10 movies within this one movie.
Right.
And they just chopped them together wherever. And we are just supposed to accept it for what it is. And I am just like, and exactly what you said is, so they get through the airport, they change clothes, they get to the airport, he has the kid with him, they're on a flight, we don't know going to where, because it's the spot that everybody knows, apparently. Mm-hmm. And John Cena apparently has a tie-in with the flight crew that allows him to avoid the bad guys, the bounty hunters or whoever on that flight.
Because apparently they were on the flight.
Of course. Come on now. What are we thinking? And
we just have to accept so many things.
No. To make matters worse, the canoe is not a canoe. It's some type of airplane.
It's a bobsled plane. A bobsled butterfly plane.
There you go. I have no idea. But they shoot out of the commercial plane into the air in this other contraption. Him and the kid. At this particular point, someone said, call CPS, Child Protective Services, because this kid is going to need beyond therapy.
Right.
But again, of course, they land, everything is fine, and they maneuver to get to where they need to get to, which again is, it's exhausting. But we're not done with the foolishness, so...
Let's talk about Jason Momoa.
Three, right?
Speaking of foolishness, Jason Momoa, he earned your dollar. Like, I still say that this is a see it, even though I kind of hate this movie. Like, I still am saying, like, you need to see this
just
movie.
Just for Jason, though.
For Jason Momoa. He plays a perfect Cesar Romero's Joker. He's doing ballet. He is blowing up things.
His wardrobe is ridiculous.
He's taunting constantly. Taunting Dominic Toretto in a way that we've never seen. Like,
no.
We've never seen maniac type of stuff. And one of my favorite scenes, I don't know where this is, but one of my favorite scenes with Jason Momoa is where he's talking with two people that have, I think are clearly dead, but yes. They've also been duct taped. And so they just look awful because like their eyelids are pieced up.
Yeah, everything's like this, right?
Right. And he's having a full on Jack Nicholson conversation with them. And to me, that was like, I don't know how you were able to channel this, and I don't know who gave you permission, but thank goodness they did, because you saved this movie.
Oh, he brought the humor and the light fun that we expect from these movies. Even, like I said, his wardrobe, he has like shiny silk shirts, and the way he interacts with the men that aren't really there because they want to be, they're being blackmailed into being there with him, and his... You know, he understands the foolishness that is Fast 10. You know what I mean? So I agree with you because it just, like you said, is the editing drives you crazy. Like you go for John Cena and then they're like, oh, wait a minute. We have the other group of people that is, you know, Taj, Ramsey, and Roman. They're together. And Chan, who's thrown in here too. And we're like, okay, well, where are they off to now? Of course, they're going to go and meet up and try to be at the rendezvous point. But that's when we thought this movie finally calmed down. wait, here comes Michelle Rodriguez, and she's in some other, she's been captured, and she's in some maximum security prison out in, wait for it, Antarctica.
With Charlize Theron. They're both in the same area.
How do we go from California to Antarctica?
Right.
When did maximum this trip security occur? We never see that. We just accept it, and apparently this is Charlize's lab from Five that she relocated to Antarctica, and this is where she and Michelle are captured, and they have to team up to try to escape this. But of course, they fight, and because they have conflict and trust issues.
Oh, no, and because there must be a fight.
Of course,
the,
that too.
The big thing is, but Michelle Rodriguez in her contract needs a fight every movie, and she must win.
Can I ask you something? Okay, I thought maybe it was me because there's so much going on in this film. When we, the film opens and they are at the house, right? Vin Diesel and Michelle Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. And they put the kid to bed. And he has his head on her stomach. Is she pregnant?
Yes, that's the thing. They were saying that that you can't tell that she's pregnant yet. Like, that was, I think, her line when he was trying to feel for like a pulse or something. I don't know.
But I'm thinking to myself, this woman is pregnant and she's fighting like this. And I'm like, that can't be good for the baby. And if she really is pregnant, but then again, we lost. But that's all I kept thinking. I'm like, isn't she pregnant? And she's out here doing all this craziness.
Well, not only that, but she was basically fridged for the movie because this happens fairly early on, right? Once the team gets taken down, Michelle Rodriguez was on the side of the team anyway, and she got captured herself while everybody else escaped on something. Roman's whole story is just, I led the team into a problem. I was a bad leader. And they're like, no, you're not. But really, he was a horrible leader. Like,
he was a horrible leader.
He totally should feel that way.
Due diligence on who hired him.
And that's all their stories are. Like, it literally, that's the entire runtime of the film, except for when they get to the very, very end. And from there, like, is there anything else that really we can spoil until we get to the ending? I have no idea.
We keep wanting, before we get to the ending sequence, I don't know about you, but I kept saying to myself, I needed to stop. My head hurts. I was thinking it quietly, but the people around me were like, stop.
Right.
No way. Come on, man. I was like, these were the type of comments where people, and it wasn't like, you know, when you see something really, really cool on screen, it was just like, my brain is fried. I cannot take any more of this dumbness. That's where the ultimate, you know, my one friend who really loves like superhero movies and everything, he was like, I was ready to walk out. But my co-hosts were like making me stay. He goes, this was just sheer foolery and trash and not guilty pleasure. So I think our brains were just, you know, we were just exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
You know how when a movie is like really running long and you're like, man, this would be a perfect movie if they would have just stopped 40 minutes ago.
Right.
I'm not even sure we can say about this. We just needed it to stop because we were over it. Hour 30.
It felt like ChatGPT wrote this. And that's a mark for please pay your writers. And can we have better writers? And please write better. Please, because
but I mean, here's my thing though. I was saying this to Sharonda, our mutual friend. I go, John Wick does not have a lot of dialogue.
No,
and we know we don't. Let's be honest, we do not watch John Wick for dialogue. We come for these insane, amazing, great fight sequences, and those were exactly what we got. Like the scene by the Arc de Triomphe when the cars are going around. Donnie Yen, who is amazing. But when we did have dialogue, it made sense and it helped tell the story in conjunction with the physicality, right?
And it never felt like it was forced. Like they were trying to shill somebody as the lead.
No, and I feel like, you know, sometimes when people hear people like you and me say the dialogue doesn't make sense, that we want it to be like some kind of some type of deepness. No, but I'm like, if you're going to go in the route that these movies are going, where the action is upfront, then the dialogue has to complement the action. I feel like with this, these are like action, action, action. Oh gosh, it isn't a talking movie. We need some words in here. Okay, we're just going to throw whatever, whatever. Back to the action. It didn't help the story, and it didn't help connect these different stories within a story. Am I making sense?
So much sense. And, you know, honestly, I want to just get to the ending so that we could talk about how to fix this thing, because every time you're pitching things that are like, this is what we need to do to fix this. So the ending, they go to a dam, and it's kind of like a standoff. They've got two semi-trucks on both sides, a dam. They're going to ram into him, crush him.
And he's got the kid in the car. By then, the kid went from John Cena to him. Don't ask how that happened. When he gave him a command, I thought the kid was
going to start driving. Oh, it was a handoff, right? It was a car handoff.
It was going to be a handoff, right?
Just threw him in.
Again. One person will call GPS because it was getting out of hand.
They literally chucked the kid into
shotgunned him from one car to the other. And of course he landed perfectly into Dom's car.
Oh, not even a scratch. No, not at all.
Yeah.
That kid knew what he was doing. He was like, here's how I tense up. Here's how a stuntman will do this. But they set it up basically an impossible choice for Dom. Basically, either has to die or jump off of the whole dam. So what does he do? He jumps off the dam, goes all the way down, becomes kind of a Hot Wheels track. We saw a video clip of, I think, the kid playing some Hot Wheels racer thing. So that it's kind of an homage to that, which I thought was a little bit cute if they hadn't have ruined it with everything else that had happened before. They go down the ramp, pop out, and then they make it. You're like, oh, good, they survive. But nope, Damien is rigged the entire dam with explosives, cut to black. And this is after Roman and the entire gang in the plane have crashed into a wall, basically. Is that it? That's about it, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know.
That's a lot.
So the car, we didn't know, and advice here, please don't do this ever. The car drives down the dam. Like, literally, like the dam is like this, right? And the car is like, into water. Mind you, prior to that, they strapped in because it's like a full chest thing in these cars always. And it has like that other fuel on there that helps it go faster.
Nos, so
of course,
right.
Carbon monoxide, no harm, no foul. And they somehow get out of the car with all of that. The car doesn't explode, mind you. And him and the kids swim up. They look up to Jason Momoa, who then is like, damn. Oh, somehow along the line, the agent that was that we thought was the Hobbs character, like, and he was a good guy, turns out to be bad guy.
Right.
So he was a double agent. They get rid of him. Well, he might make a comeback in the other movie because, you know, no one ever dies in these things.
Right.
And that is how they ended it, to set it up, which we hope and pray to the gods will be the final Fast and Furious. Not the four-parter that Vin Diesel threatened us with at the and I call that threatening because at this point it is mental abuse. Sir, we need you to find something else to play.
What happens when I send my therapy bill to Vin Diesel? What happens then?
I feel like in the interview, I'm like, we have not seen you in something other than triple. I mean, I think he's supposed to make a triple X. Sir, how did you go from Saving Private Ryan, which he was good at, so we know he has capacity to play a fully fleshed out character.
Take away Saving Private Ryan. Talk about the pacifier. Like, he was great in the pacifier.
Yeah, and I get it. Like, he's double dipping now. He is a producer on these films, so he's getting money. He's getting part of the box office. There's his salary as an actor. I mean, he's living life lavishly. But as a creative, aren't you bored? Don't you want to do other things? Like, everybody else in the cast is doing other things for the most part. But are you going to be Dominic Toretto for the rest of your life?
Well, and do you truly have enough story? Like, that's genuinely my question at this point. You have a great villain now. Like, Jason Momoa, for all intents and purposes, is now the perfect villain to set up for this. It could be an epic conclusion if you do just one. If you try to stretch it out, it won't. It just won't work.
Well, you know what's going to happen. They're going to sit and they're going to count these box office receipts.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to see it makes money. It's going to make additional money because it's going to still be in theaters over Memorial Day weekend. Because it's for that crowd that doesn't want to see Little Mermaid. Right? Because mm-hmm. they consider that a kid's movie. And Little Mermaid is going to make money. Don't worry, guys. It is more than enough because everybody that's got little kids, everybody who loved that movie is rushing to see it. It's already at 150 million pre-sales.
Right.
That crowd that doesn't want to see that and have seen Guardians already, they're going to still go see. It's going to have legs. So when you combine all that money globally, they're going to look at it. And while Patrick and I are like, please let this thing die. Oh my God, we should do the four-part ending. You know what I mean? And they're like, no, stop. We're already like, and again, it would be different if you were like, okay, we know this was utterly ridiculous. Let's at least end it on some type of quality and bring in people that are going to give us some type of story to tie in all these different people. And do the action sequences, and let's just say goodbye with them sitting at the table outside, going off into never to be heard from again.
Right. One more Corona for the road. I think before we jump into the next part, is there's only one more spoiler part I want to talk about. John Cena has a Mad Max car, and the kid straight up murders a lot of people, and they just kind of go past that. And maybe we should just go past that. I don't know.
It is very odd. Again, this kid is going to need intensive therapy. This kid is going to need...
It's very Mad Max, that sequence.
It is. I mean, it's like this movie. We keep saying this, and I'm sorry for being repetitive, but this movie is trying to be 10 other movies or types of genres that we are familiar with or pay homage to those. I mean, I think there's even like an homage to Hunt for Red October, that whole Antarctica thing, right?
Oh, okay, yeah.
So it's like, hence, therefore, it is void of a personality and it being its own thing because it doesn't know. It literally is like the kids got the keys to the castle with a very, very large budget and just threw everything against the wall and no one was there to edit and say, no, stop, we have enough. And they put this all into a movie, cut and paste it together, and are presenting it to us and say, here you go, now pay for this.
Right. Well, and also they're ending it with giving you as much of a tease to like go to the next film. It's all set up and teased for this movie. And they tease Gal Gadot. She comes out of a submarine that Charlize Theron and Michelle Rodriguez show up at. She's in the same leather jacket that she's been in for all the other Fast movies. And then the after credits scene is Damon basically going after the next person. He does very Joker-esque things where he's got television sets surrounding. He has kind of like games of morality and what will you do, this person or this person. And it turns out he's going after The Rock. And Black Adam sunk The Rock right back down into the Fast franchise, and that's his reintroduction. He gives him a good old some bitch, and that's the end of the film.
Yeah, and then, you know what? It is because he didn't want to do, because apparently, allegedly, we're going to say, there's been squabbles between him and Vin and who gets top billing, and Vin feels as though this is his franchise, which in essence it is. But we know that The Rock is a bigger, you know, Dwayne Johnson is absolutely a way bigger star. And we know that he alone brings butts into the seat. So it's going to be really interesting how they work that out. And he really did Hobbs and Shaw because he wanted Hobbs to have his own spinoffs. So I don't know what happened with that. But you're right, now that Black Adam, rightfully so, has been tabled. He's back to doing this. So I don't know how they're going to work that out. You know, are they going to have a come to Jesus where everybody's like, hey, put your egos to the side?
No. Or, separate sound stages.
I thought it was weird because Vin Diesel is like, I had to teach him how to act. But sir, you're not acting in these movies.
No, they're going to be in separate sound stages. They're going to spend millions upon millions of dollars to not have to be in the same room with each other and still act out the scene.
And they're still supposed to be in, they're supposed to be on the same team because they have the villain in common. So, I mean, and also it was sad that, you know, a lot of people kind of ruined it before the movie came out that he's in this, because the one thing I do respect about The Rock, he's been really, really, really good. If you look at his social media, he has not talked about it at all, because he really is heavy on fans getting to experience things on their own without, you know what I mean, that type of thing. So I think shame on the people that did come forth and did ruin it for before the public got a chance to see it.
We can call them The Rap if we want to use a name. I don't know.
I know, right? And it's just, but I do think, I thought about that. I was like, well, wait a minute. How is that? And I go, oh no, my head hurts just from thinking about it, because just when you think they should not throw any more into this mix, they are. So it will be like, I guess, Hobbs and Shaw within Fast and Furious, because, you know, Jason left to take care of his family coming after his mother. Mm-hmm. So I don't.
Am I excited to see it? That's my big problem.
Because you know what? Believe it or not,
I drink the poison.
Well, yeah, because we are so desperate for there to be some sanity amongst the insanity that I feel like, however you may feel about The Rock's movies, and they sometimes too are all over the place, I feel like his character will be a little bit of the balance that we need. Somebody to be like, for lack of a better word, the real leader.
Or the Brian. That's exactly been my thing.
The Brian. And again, can we talk about how the theme of Fast and Furious has been for at least 9 movies? Family. And there was no shred of it. I mean, people were together and, you know, the son, but the sense of family that made this group of people so endearing to us all this time, it wasn't there.
Right. Well, it's a family for me, but not for thee. When it comes to Dominic Toretto, they're all a family surrounding him, but there's never an exploration. And let's segue that into this. How do we land the fast plane? Where do you think this final chapter could land that could not only boost the box office numbers, make it maybe a top 5 performer, but also make it so that these characters feel well-rounded, that they've been given good conclusions, and that this could be one of the best Fast Furious films ever?
We have to, well, there's no, when something is so bad, I'm going to say, let's pray it can't get any worse, right? We have to course correct. And some of this has to be, we cannot have 10 stories within one film. That is too much. And it's sensory overload. And anybody, like, you know, I don't think you have to be, it's like 80, you tap out, you stop caring. You're just ready for this thing, as you say, to land the plane. And I feel like you have to unite the team again, the core of the team. Right. And they have to work together. And that means them being in scenes together, working against Jason, who is the villain. Right. Mm-hmm. We need to get all these other side beefs straightened out and everybody meet at the whatever the rendezvous point is and be like, guys, you know, and say it. This is our last hurrah. Us, we're saving the world. We've got to, you know, whatever you want to call your rallying cry. And then, you know, allow these characters within the team. Like, it is a little bit, think like Star Trek, right? Within Star Trek, it works because everybody has their specialty, and those specialties cohesively help the captain be the best version that he is, and hence fulfill the mission. And we need that here, you know? Tasha's got to be the mechanic. Roman's got to be the slick guy. Let him be the slick guy. You know, Ramsey does her computer thing. Dominic does his, you know, let's get everybody on board. You know, Chan comes in there with his wisdom, you know, cutting through, like, you know, making sure that the X's and O's are there. Let's give everybody the thing. And then Jordana Brewster just show up because, you know what, we're doing this for the saving our family. She's part of the family. Then do it to save the family. And Michelle Rodriguez, you either having a baby or you're not. And if you're having a baby, then maybe you need to sit this one out, or just you had the baby. And again, this is for, we want to protect our family and just live in peace going forward. We're tired of the chaos. You know what I mean? So that type of thing. But I think it's going to need a strong writer. And I wouldn't mind having like a F. Gary Gray come back. I think he did a really good job. A director that understands the backstories. And maybe it's too much to ask, but give a little bit of a notation, like you were saying about Taj, a picture, a flashback. Maybe he was in the Navy or something. I don't know. You know, a little, you know, you could do like they're in their separate spaces and, you know, someone sends out the fast 10 bat signal. Oh, we need to get together because
it's just this is the big, end all, like, right?
Taj in his life and a little glimpse of where he came from. You see Roman in his life and see how much he's grown and that type of thing. And Jason, us against Jason. That would be my thing. And that's the story. The team against Jason, not team. And then whoever, and if Scott is representing Kurt Russell's character, I forgot Kurt Russell was in it, but if he's representing him.
Yeah, he is and he isn't. By the way, Brie Larson is Mr. Nobody's daughter. We didn't talk about that.
Oh, because again, there was so much.
She's in and it, also, and she's out.
Again, I love Brie Larson, but I am perplexed by some of her choices other than her playing Miss Captain Marvel, right?
Right.
These choices are all over the place. And I am like, again, I'm sure the paycheck was really, really nice. And for her, probably was a fun idea to get to do something like that. But again, if she's going to be in this next one, she's recuperating. Okay, then her and Scott Easton's characters represent the agency. Again, they bring the technical, the professional part, for lack of a better word, into the team. But it's still all 10 of them, or 15, however people they are, against Jason. Because you can sell it as it's going to take the 10, 15 of them in order to conquer this evil.
Right.
Does that make sense? Well,
that's got to be the end game. And let me expand on your ideas here. So we've got, let's say that this picks up like a year after, right? We're starting a year after. Everybody has kind of just gone completely off the grid because there's just no way that we can try to interact, try to communicate, because this guy is just waiting. He's a shark waiting in the shallow end, and he will get us the minute we step our feet in here. That's where we're going to see, kind of like in Iron Man, in Endgame, when Iron Man has a kid already, has a life, and has something he doesn't want to sacrifice. Each character needs something they don't want to sacrifice in this next film, so that when they decide that they need to come together to take on this big person, that there's stakes for everybody. And so everybody needs some type of stakes. I think Dom is, I hope they don't do a Deathly Hallows Part 1 where he's just in the woods for a while with the kid. Michelle Rodriguez beard should have her kid, though. He's got a beard, a big old beard that's like, no hair still here. It's perfectly shaved. Yeah. There's no problems with that.
Yeah, homeschooling the kid.
Oh, they digitally make him small like Steve Rogers. That would be...
I can see the kid going from being like, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 to being now 15. You know what I mean? You're like, wait a minute.
Baby Rambo.
It was 7 in the last one. But I agree with you. Go ahead. And what else do you think we need to do? So they have a year off, which I kind of like. It gives us a little bit of a glimpse into their lives.
Right. We set them up with their own things. Give Taj a garage somewhere in like Rio. Give Roman maybe like a family right now. Maybe he actually has some people that he cares about and he's not so superficial. Give Natalie like a really good job that she's doing or something. But Dom is still kind of incognito. Nobody really knows what's going on with any of that. Michelle Rodriguez is with Gal Gadot and Brie Larson and that team. And that's where I think it's going to be like S.H.I.E.L.D. resorbing Hydra, kind of, where they got to go and they got to like show up and be like, no, we were with Mr. Nobody. This is Kurt Russell's team, not Jason Momoa's team. Take them out. And so systematically, that's how they need to piece apart what Jason Momoa has set up with everything. I don't know. I think it's going to – I don't know if Dwayne The Rock Johnson will ever do this, but I'm pretty sure he needs to just be the torture puppet for Jason Momoa, the whole thing.
I know it would be awesome, though, if he – okay, so to use your scenario. So Dom is out living in the woods off the grid with the kid, right?
Right, off the grid with the kid.
He's teaching him how to hunt and do all that stuff that you need to out – via Survivor style.
Here's how you change the oil in this tree.
And here comes, you know, The Rock pulls up in the big F-150, gets out of the car, and Dom is on the, you know, Dom here sees the car and he's got the binocular. He comes on the porch ready with the weapon. And you know, The Rock gives him that line, you know, I know we don't like each other. Mm-hmm. But we've got a common enemy, and we've
you
got
just,
a band.
You just predicted it. You predicted it. That's totally what's going. If they don't pay you royalties for that, that's exactly how that's going to go. He will find him. It's going to be The Rock.
That's how they get the team together. Well, do you know where everybody is? Well, you know, we decided not to be in contact for safety. All right. Well, we got to start looking. And then, you know, you see, and this is where you go. Rome is doing. But he's with family. Well,
who else is who wasn't in this one that can still be like? There are some characters that weren't in this one still. Like you still got the guy, like what you were saying. Here's who it was gonna be. Oh, we're gonna nail this movie. We're totally gonna predict the whole thing. So he's got the connection to Jason Statham still, right?
Yeah.
So what he's gonna do? Connect Statham to Han. Han's going to go to Tokyo, reconnect with his bro. They're going to have their thing.
Lucas Haas, can you imagine him being in this too? Because he's not doing anything right now.
Totally. And this guy is making jet engines at this point. He's got like the most powerful way to make a vehicle.
He sent them to space, so they need him.
He sent them to space. It could totally work. Bring him in. And I don't know where it goes from there. Then sheer lunacy. That's how you build it.
That's how the Rock is the one that's going to assemble the Fast 10 Avengers.
Yes.
Once and for all, last dance at the Speedway Corral. And I hope everybody understands. John Cena's
one movie. Birthday. Just do it. And they could make it.
One movie, though.
We made it so good. That's a $2 billion movie.
And go to, if you really go to a new location, I do think it would be cool if they went back to Tokyo, but go to a new location, and no, we don't need any more new characters other than like somebody at the store, you know, whatever, right? If you want to bring in some people for a cute little cameo, that's fine. But
a henchman on the inside of Jason Momoa's team that changed his mind and decided to help out?
That would be different, right? But I think that yeah, and we need a better rendezvous place. I'm like, the way they talked about it, it was so underwhelming. Like,
right. Where did they go?
I don't know, but I do feel like there's really cool parts. Like, if they went to Dubai or something like that, that kind of fits in with the craziness.
Dubai'd be cool.
Yeah. So,
I could see that. We totally predicted a lot of stuff.
Yeah, but I do think, but we need to, and one movie.
One. We have to totally wrap this up.
Versus the bad people.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need. No, we've already had family. These conversations about everybody saying they're sorry, and you know, and also, you know, the other part is, does Chan know that Gal Gadot is alive?
Right. Oh, I don't even know how they're going to tie.
How are they going to do that? I mean, it's going to be one of those things where the team, where she's going to walk in with Brie Larson, Michelle Rodriguez, and Charlize Theron, and he's going to lay eyes on her, and it's going to be shock. And it's going to be one of those things where she'll be like, I'll explain later, because they got to focus on the mission. And that's how they'll be on the same page, because there'll be no explanation, really. But she'll just give that one line, and he'll be like, okay.
Well, and Dom will tell Hobbs, before they get everything going, help me find my wife and my kid. No, not that kid, the other kid. And that's
and how they're going to be like, I'm with
you. I got you.
And that kid is got, oh dear God, Whoever we cast as a new kid
must be Asian.
That kid cannot come out with blonde hair and blue eyes. Like, we gotta be a little bit in this world when we are casting offspring.
I don't know if we are.
But you know, this know kid is gonna anymore. Be in this new movie. He's gonna go from being like 10 to being like 15.
Right.
Even though they're gonna try to tell you wink wink, it all it's happened. It's just been 1 year
jump. He's like 18.
Oh my god. It's just but this is where we are though. We are and I do.
What's the big stunt? That's the last thing. What's the big closeout stunt that they're gonna do? It's gotta be over the White House. Or like,
oh yeah, it's got to be something like that. I mean,
Statue of Liberty,
drive down the dam, you know, and yeah, I think that would be cool. Like if they jump over the White House and they all land on the lawn, you know, or be at 1600 and the president comes out and is like, excuse you,
Right. Or like just think, use a car as a like, torpedo. Yeah.
And you know, I can see The Rock, Mr. President's mate, and him being like, oh, but.
After they evacuate the president, he goes to the Oval Office and pumps a cigar and kicks his feet up.
I know, right?
I see
oh
the
my
scene.
God. It is.
He's like, some bitch. That's the
I know, right? This movie really is for people. Like, what did I write in my review? I wrote in my review, leave all sense of reality at the house.
Yes.
If you, in order to enjoy this movie, you have to pretend that reality is an alternate universe. And any time where you find your brain trying to make sense of anything.
Stop it. Stop it. It's only going to make it worse.
It just is like.
It's like when you're getting a shot. You don't want to look.
Yeah. And if you're looking for certain characters that you liked to have other than the core, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, they have no story. They're just kind of like running all the time.
Right.
And also, like, did you notice, wait a minute, didn't Ramsey in the last film not know how to drive? And once again, she was in the driver's seat.
That was a big thing that she didn't know how to drive.
I'm like, we're not even connecting things from the previous. We're just
they
like,
forget. Okay. They forget their own canon. They have nobody that's monitoring the canon.
No, nobody's on set going like, but she didn't know how to drive. So now you want her, not the guy, not Todd.
Vin Diesel just flexes really hard near them when they start asking questions.
I know. And we want better for Ludacris. We want him out of this matrix of hell.
We want justice
for Tej. Better for him. We just do. You know what I mean?
Right.
And the reason why I think we're getting Gal Gadot, the reason we're getting Hobbs, is because, you know, Wonder Woman has been killed. Warner Brothers is facilitating.
The DC rejects showed up here.
I know. Warner Brothers is facilitating these characters being able to be in the last one.
Mm-hmm.
Warner Brothers cuts as Universal's win because Gal Gadot would normally not be doing this if we got Wonder Woman 3. She'd be working on that. The Rock would not be doing this if we had Black Adam doing another film.
And let's add one more. Aquaman 2, I don't think is going to be the best. And Jason Momoa is here giving us his best.
He is the sole
That's
winner
Aquaman.
In
That's
all
three
of this.
DC characters.
Maybe. And I almost feel like one person wrote his dialogue and the rest was divvied up to everybody else. There's no way you can tell me that person that wrote that part was responsible for the rest of it. It just doesn't, no. I cannot. And I need visual confirmation of this.
Maybe it's improv. Maybe he just really got improv with it.
I mean, I think also, I think if his team is smart, they'll allow him to do more comedies. Because he is very comedic, charismatic, and he's a big guy that doesn't take himself, he's not caught in his ego where he feels like I should only be the badass.
Right. Which makes him a badass. Honestly, 100%. That's what makes him a badass. And really, he crushed it. Kathy, thank you so much. This was so much fun. We really cracked the code on how they're going to do this. Vin Diesel needs to, we're going to tag him. We're going to send him stuff. He's the producer. He knows. Make sure everybody that you follow Kathia at Kathia underscore Woods and at Cup of Soul Show. Again, so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Anything else? Right?
What else do we talk about with this?
No, I think this, I think we nailed it. And again, we're really interested in hearing, like, were you like us going, why are we here?
Right.
Where is this going?
What part broke your brain?
I know, right? What, how long did it take where you were like, clearly you don't care about anything.
Oh man, totally. Well, thank you again so much. And follow me on Twitter, all of that stuff. The big news that came out this week, I'm moving from the Daily Dish onto ABC4 News. So I'm going to be the head film critic for it. So make sure you check me out for all of that stuff.
I'd like to see it. Very nice.
I'm going to have to dress way more appropriately. I have to wear a suit. I've got to wear collared stuff. It's going to be
a whole new thing.
But again, thank you everybody so much as always for watching, and we will see you at the next review.